Okay, well, first of all, thank you very much for showing up on an invite without any preparation on that. And I'm just going to kind of talk for a little bit, kind of informally, some things that I feel are very important. Obviously, I'm here for the weekend. We spoke last night. We speak Sunday, which isn't a lot of input. And I just really feel that we're in a season that's got some real crucial things in it. So I just wanted to share with you as core, who affects the rest of the people here in the church and in the city, some things that I think are very, very important. Probably a number one word that I'm hearing right now is why. Okay, and if you don't know the why, that's when we burn out. All right? And the enemy is challenging the why we do things, the why we are. And I know this is in the spirit, but I didn't even realize my son was preaching on why while I was preaching on why up in Canada last week. And if you listened to some of the things that I posted, some of you follow me, I know, and I posted a prophetic song. It came out about the why of putting our head on his chest and letting his desires come into our hearts. And so I really feel we're in a season where God's grace is here for us to be people of the why. So if we're going to be people of mercy and grace, that can't be something, that cannot be a what we do. If we're going to be people of mercy and grace, welcome in, guys. Come on in. So just saying that this is kind of an informal time. Appreciate you coming out on a spontaneous moment. We can throw some more chairs in here. But if we're going to be people of mercy and grace, that can't be a what we do. That has to be a why we do that. Because if it's mercy and grace is the thing that we do, we're going to burn out trying to show mercy. We're going to burn out trying to be people of grace. So we have to know why are we people of mercy? Why are we people of grace? And if we know the why, then it's easy to decide when mercy and when grace. And so even when it comes to, I shared last night, you know, in Exodus 3 where Moses comes and he has this encounter with this bush that's not burning up. His encounter was not with the fire. His encounter was with a bush. What was in that bush that prevented that bush from burning up? And so I think that has everything to do with a why. I want to start out by reading a crucial chapter in Scripture in John 17. And it's really the end of the life of Jesus as a man and the beginning of his disciples as men. And obviously their families, and I think it also applies to us. And I'm going to read John 17, the chapter. Jesus spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh. He should give eternal life to as many as you have given to him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent. So eternal life is to know God and to know Jesus, the Son that he sent. So this, it's relational. I've glorified you on earth, and I've finished the work which you have given me to do. Now, the work that God gave Jesus to do was not a what. The work that God gave Jesus to do had more to do with a why than a what. And I want you to listen to this closely. He says, And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which was with you before the world began. Before the world was. In other words, God the Son, the Word, the expression of God, was God in heaven. And think of this. He wasn't Jesus in heaven. He didn't become Jesus until Bethlehem. Jesus means God saves. I mean, God was okay. Did he have to save to be okay? I mean, he was okay. He didn't need to be Jesus. So he didn't need to be Jesus to be God. He was God the Father, God the Word, God the expression, and God the Spirit. So he's three, relational. He's God the Father, God the Word, God the Spirit, God the Trinity. The word Trinity is nowhere in Scripture, but you can't look anywhere and not see that God is three. It's like even us in this room, we're spirit, soul, and body. You can't separate those things. Anything that separates those things is wrong. Anything that tells you your spirit is good, your soul is soulish, and your flesh sucks is heresy. Your spirit is fantastic, your soul is wonderful, and your body is wonderful, your life is wonderful. So much, God believes in your body so much, you get a new one. The only thing that makes the body part of you corruptible is we live in a world that was disconnected from Him, and so we're deteriorating, but He made a way for us to become like we should be. Eternal in every aspect. Eternal spirit, eternal soul, eternal body. Okay? It's different than this. So God didn't need a what to do to be God. Well, I know what I need to do. I need to do the what to do. Save man. That's a what I have to do. No. He was God the Father, so it was a why, not a what. Of course I'll move into the neighborhood when they disconnected from me because I want them to be connected to me. Of course I'll become a human being because humans are an expression of me. Why would you do it, God? It's not even a question of why would I do it? I'm God the Father. Of course I'll move into the neighborhood. Of course I'll become Jesus. Of course I'll become God saves. I mean, God's not too proud. When God comes to us, He comes small. When we see Him for who He is, we see Him as big. But He doesn't come to us as big, He comes to us as small. When we tried to build a city that got out of here, when we tried to say, let's get out of earth, let's build a city that goes up into heaven, God looked at that and said, this isn't good. And He came and He scattered our speech and He scattered our language because nothing that we would do would be impossible. No what would be impossible for us. So God says they're missing the why. Let me go down and confuse their language so they can't do a common what. Because I want to move into their neighborhood. I want them to realize I never wanted to get human beings out of the earth. I wanted to get heaven into the earth. There's plenty of time to get out of the earth when the earth is filled with the glory of God. So it's not a what to do. It's a why. So Deming here, City Life Church, is not about what are we here to do.
All right.
It's not about a what are we here to do. Now, that used to work because, and I'm speaking apostolically now, to the body of Christ. You included because you're in my heart. So you're something that's written in my heart. Just as you're written in your heart, it's written in the heart of Pastor Caesar. Something is written in my heart that's about you as well. So what we used to do, we used to get away with a what. But something's changed. We're growing. God is at work in the body of Christ. So what doesn't work anymore? What are we here to do in Deming? That used to work because we were little children, so to speak. But God now is releasing a grace for us to become the people of God. The people of God is not a what. The people of God is a why. And I think the enemy wants to come and he wants to hold us into a what. And that will burn out with a what. With a what to do, we will burn out. Okay? And the enemy's assignment is against us to stop us from being a why. And so that's why I felt, I just said, let's just invite a core group to come. Anybody who wants to come. So if you felt obligated to come, it's fine. But I don't want you to feel obligated to come. I want you to want to come. And so I'm glad you came. So even if you got tricked in your own heart or your own mind and you came for a wrong reason, it's okay because you're here. Okay? And I want to help you discover that why. I want to help you return to your first love. I want to help you return to that place of why do we do what we do? Why are we what we are? Why are we in this city? Why are we a congregation? Okay? So now, I didn't say, hey, let's invite everybody in the church to come because I'm not expecting everybody to understand the why, but if we could get a group this size to grab a why, we'd be contagious to every what. We'll be contagious and inspire the whats to say, wait a minute, it's not a what, it's a why. Why would I do this? Okay. Yeah. Parents, grandparents, even more than husbands and wives, parents and grandparents is like magic. I know, I'm a grandparent, right? Grandparents is like magic because you now you enter into this realm where you don't have to worry about the what so much. You actually catch the why. You know, I get that with my four grandkids. I'm in their life because I create a generational environment where they absolutely know they are valuable and they are loved. That's my number one thing. They know why am I there? I'm a busy man. I got a busy schedule, but my calendar's got all kinds of green marks in the midst of my busy activities because I spend every moment I possibly can with my grandkids when I'm home. Why? Because they're my grandkids. Okay, and I want them to become like I am in the God part of me. I want them to be themselves, but I want them to know why I do what I do. Okay? Why did Grandpa spend his entire life doing what he does? Why is Grandpa willing to leave those who are the most important people in his life to go someplace else? And then he comes home and he reminds you that you're the most important person in his life, but why would he go? You know, my grandson says to me, I went on a trip and then I had another one come up. And he says, Opa, why do you keep doing this? That's a great question. Why do I keep doing this? He knows. I love him. He knows he's the most important in my life. I got a promotion this year. He doesn't call me Opa anymore. He calls me Daddy Opa. That's an upgrade. I'm now a Daddy Opa. And it's very true because Opa is what I am, but he catches there's a why I am. Without realizing what that is, he calls me Daddy Opa. He said, I'm not just Opa. He told me, no, you're Daddy Opa. You're my Daddy Opa. Because he feels something of Daddy coming from Opa. It's not just because I'm his dad's dad. He senses that I have the heart of a dad to him. And when his dad's gone, I fill that hole. So, I mean, he says to his dad one day, he says, Dad, don't go to work. His dad said, well, Caden, I got to go to work. He said, well, why? It's because we got to get money so that we can eat. And he thinks a minute, and he goes, we can get eggs from Opa. So if it's about food, Opa loves us. He's got chickens. He'll give us eggs. But I believe that there's something in that God is speaking about this why. Why do we do it? So in John 17 here, Jesus is saying, I've glorified you on earth, verse 4. I've finished the work which you gave me to do, but it was a why, not a what. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men that you have given me out of the world. I've manifested who you are. I've manifested your character. A name is a character, a nature, a way, a power, and authority. I've manifested you. When I walked into the room, I made sure they saw you. Jesus did not do what God the Father told him to do. If that was the case, he would have been here for a what to do. Every now and then, the Father said something to him, but I don't even know. I can hardly even find that. He did what he saw the Father doing because he didn't look at his Father as, I'm here to do what you want me to do. He looked at his Father and he said, you're there, Father, but I'm here, therefore we're here, and I'm going to do what you want to do. I'm going to fulfill why you sent me, why I'm here, why you were willing to let this part of you go from heaven and humble himself and become less than what we were together in heaven. Why in the world would you let me become a human being so that I could spend my whole life in a foreign land from the glory throne? Why would you let me go through and take on the sins of the world when that would put the wrath of men upon me? Not the wrath of God. The wrath of the consequence of missing the mark was on me. Not an angry God. God was never angry at people. He was angry with what was destroying people. His wrath was not on human beings. His wrath, the wrath was a consequence. We put the wrath on ourselves. He came to get it off. And so Jesus came to fulfill the why of the Father. I only do with that which I see the Father doing. So I've invited you today here as a core to say, why do we do what we do? Okay. And last night I said, leadership is more about becoming the substance of what we are becoming than it is telling us what to do. So Caesar is a gift to this house, and the leaders at various levels are gifts of leadership to you. So the degree that I receive him as a leader is a degree that I open the atmosphere for him to become what he needs to become. The degree that I question his leadership is a degree I hinder him from becoming. It's just like to the degree that your children receive you as parents in your home, then they create an atmosphere where you can actually be a parent with liberty. I mean, you've had it as parents where your kids don't give you liberty? And then it's tougher to be a parent, because then what you want to do is get ticked off sometimes. But then you remember, wait a minute, I'm a parent. You know, like my second son, he's like my grandson, a little stubborn, strong-willed, which is a wonderful, wonderful gift, but also a challenge. Okay, and so you know, Aaron, my second son, got more disciplines than the other children, not because we loved him less, but because he had a strong will. And so we had to guide him into the path of life with his strong will without destroying his strong will. And I remember my wife was disciplining him one day. And she thought, wow, I'm finally getting through to him. Because he was sitting there paying attention to her, focusing on her. And then he said to her, Mom, I can see myself in your eyes. I mean, discipline was out the window. What do you do with that? I mean, this cute little boy who just did something that needed some correction is looking at you. You think you're getting through to him. And then he says, I can see myself in your eyes. You know, and then she remembered why she was disciplining him. This is my little boy. And disciplinarian was overcome by being a mom. It was tough to do the what of discipline because she saw the why she had him. Okay? Now, that there shouldn't be a what of discipline, but why do we discipline? Because of the why of who is there, the why of who we are. Okay. So in this John 17, Jesus, he manifests the character, the nature, the way, the power, and the authority. He manifests who the Father is to these 12 guys that God sent to him. He said, they were yours. You gave them to me, and they've kept your word. They've listened to you, Father. And how did they listen to the Father? By listening to the Son, listening to Jesus. They didn't even know they were listening to the Father half the time. They were just responding to the one who came with a why he was here. Okay? And then he says, now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me. I didn't give them catechism class. I didn't give them Bible studies. I didn't give them scripture memory. I didn't give them activities, church activities. I gave them the character, the nature, the way, the substance of everything that is your expression, which you could find in Bible, but Bible is less than you. Bible is a shadow of you. It's true. It's true, but you're the truth. And so Jesus said, I came as the truth, as you're the truth. I expressed it to them. I given it to them, the words which you've given to me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. So now I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you've given me, for they are yours. Jesus said, I didn't pray for the world. So now in this, Jesus becomes a man. He moves into the neighborhood. Okay, let's put it in context of maybe something we can relate to. Jesus becomes a man and he moves into Deming, New Mexico. And he picks 12 people in the local region. Because God the Father gives him 12 people in the Deming, New Mexico area with an intent of changing the entire world with these 12 people. And he has one responsibility. And that is, why is he here for these 12? He's here for these 12 to reveal to these 12 the character, the nature, the way, the power, the authority of the Father, so that these 12 will also, when he leaves, will have the why. Why are we in Deming, New Mexico? We, the 12. Why are we in Deming, New Mexico? Now, what is there you gave us to do in Deming? Why are we in Deming? Now, we might not even stay in Deming. They might ship us off to some to Arizona and some to Texas. We might get scattered. We might move on. We might have to get a job somewhere else. We might be somewhere else. And then the what is going to totally change based upon the environment if it's a what to do we're here for. But if it's a why, we could be scattered. We could be going anywhere, and we would do whatever we would do in Deming because we know why we're here. So if I know the why, then I can figure out the what. I mean, when you're a dad, and you got kids, you got days when you got to figure out the what. And no one's there to tell you. When you're a dad or a mom, you got to figure out the what. Or you're a husband or a wife, you got to figure out the what. If you're a husband and you're trying to figure out what to do with your wife, I'm sorry, your marriage is doomed. Your marriage already sucks. I can already tell you that. If you're a parent and you're trying to figure out what to do, and that's the biggest focus of your life, you suck as a parent. I'm telling you right now, you're in trouble. If you're a core group in this church and you're trying to figure out what to do, you're in trouble.
That's right.
Now, we should say you have trouble. Maybe you're not in trouble. If you could get a revelation. So I'm here. That's why I called you today. Because the rest of the city needs you. The rest of the church needs you. The rest of whatever needs you. And so I feel this apostolically so strong for the church right now. That we got to know the why. I've got to know, why am I here? Why am I here? Okay, I'll give you an example. I run a training school. I've got a track record in my training school. When people come to my training school, they're radically transformed and changed. I got a core group of 10 people who have hung around me, and they believe in what I'm doing. And this is what they say. I don't have very many students. I don't get very many students. Okay, and this is what they say. I don't get it. I don't get it. This place should be packed. Okay? And you know what? It's God's gift to me to challenge why I do it. And I actually believe patience is going to pay big dividends. But I actually believe I'm not wasting my time. I've got one man right now who's hanging around me for 4 months, and he gets me to personally mentor him for 4 months. I had 6 people, I lost 5 in one day. And God, and I believe it's a gift to me, because God wants me to know, why do you do this? It doesn't matter if I have 1. Jesus had 12. It doesn't matter. I would that there would be 30 that would want to know the why, but it doesn't change the why with 1. Okay, now if I measure it by numbers, I'm going to burn out with 1. You know, the one guy's been with me right now. He's been with me since the first week of January. We've already been, and we get ambushed by God every day. He went with me to Canada last week, rode in the truck with me for 8 hours with another pastor and me. We got ambushed by God all the way. We got ambushed by God coming back. We've had a delightful time. I've been ambushed by God because I know why I do it. Well, I'm learning why I do it. So Jesus was there for a while, and now he says, I'm going to go. But I'm leaving these people behind. He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of... Well, let me go back just a bit. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Actually, let me go back. Verse 9. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you've given me, for they are yours. So, who has God given you? Not who has God given Pastor Caesar. Who's God given you in this church? Who's God given you in this city? Who has God given you that you are here not to tell them what to do, but to show them why?
Yeah.
With the demonstration of every what you do in life, to demonstrate to them the why that reveals what you see the Father doing. Jesus didn't do what the Father told him to do. He did what he saw the Father doing. I'm going to take it this way. It's like this. If Dad isn't here, what would he do if he was here? Not because you got a list memorizing what are the things he would do, but because you're so much like him, your thoughts are his thoughts. You're so much like him, your desires are the same as his desires. You're so much like him, if you had to imagine, you would imagine what he imagines. You're so much like him that if your emotions were moved by his emotions, they'd be exactly the same as his emotions would be. You're so much like him, you desire what he desires. That's the people of God. That's what he wants. That's why what we used to do doesn't work anymore. That's why I said, I got to talk to you before I'm out of here. I got to talk to somebody, and I got to tell you how important this why is, and I'm reminding you, and I'm saying, grab a hold of this. Somehow God give me this why I'm here. Who are the people you've given to me? I don't want to waste my time praying for Demi. I want to pray for those that you've given me so that I can reveal you to. Who is that? And it might change. It might be this and it might change. There may be like Jesus. You may have one that's in your life that isn't really given to you, just meant to be with you to challenge who you really are. Some of the most blessed gifts I've had in my life are people who've been in my life who gave me being a father. And you know how they gave me being a father? They told me I wasn't one.
Yeah.
It's easy to think you're something when everything is going in agreement with what you think you are. But when everything opposes what you are, that proves whether you are or not. It's easy to say you're loved when everybody loves you. And then it's easy, the why of love is easy when everybody loves. But when everybody hates you, do you still have the why of love? Just what Jesus did. He had the why of love, not the what of love. Even his friends that are in this chapter scatter by the time he's on the cross. But it didn't stop him from embracing the joy that was set before him because the cross was not a what. That's why he said, if there's any other way to do this, could we let this one pass? I didn't come to die on the cross. I came to reconnect him to you. That's why I'm here. But if we have to do this, if this is a what we have to do, fine. It's not my will. Let your will be done. But I didn't come. I did not come on this planet to die on the cross. I came to reconnect him to you. That's why I'm here. And I showed 12 guys what that looks like to connect them in relationship with you. And I told them when they saw me, they saw you. And one of them, Thomas, said, well, show us the Father. He said, Thomas, have I been with you this long and you haven't seen the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen him. God wants us to, in Deming, to be the people that it can be said, if you see those people, you've seen him. He wants us, our relationship with Caesar, if you see you, you've seen Caesar. The last thing you want to do is you don't want to do what Caesar does. You are not Caesar. But you want to do what you do for the reason he does what he does. If he in fact is a leader sent to you. And he is. And the more you get that, the more you free him up to become that. The more you get that, just like your kids, the more they get you're a parent, they free you up to be a parent. In relationship, the more you see somebody for who they really are, the more you free them up to be who they are. Why are we here? Okay, so then he goes on. He says, verse 10, all mine are yours and yours are mine. I'm glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except for the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. In other words, I had one guy I was supposed to lose. And that's happened. But you know what? I love him too. I broke bread for him too. Not so that he would be condemned, but so that he would know I'm the qualifier, not him. That's another story, isn't it? But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in them, that these 11 guys may have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of Deming. I do not pray that you should take them out of their everyday jobs. I do not pray that you should take them out of their responsibilities as parents. I do not pray that you should take them out of their everyday realities in the city, but that you should keep them from the evil one. That's what I pray. Just keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world, so sanctify them by your truth. Set them apart to you. Let them become like we are. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into Deming. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. You understand, I'm talking about the 12 guys, but then I'm adding some. You can figure that out, right? I'm trying to throw that out there to make this more real than a story 2,000 years ago. Although Jesus was talking about 11 guys, he wasn't talking about Deming, because he knew those 11 guys would then give their lives to men and women who had been sent to them, who in turn would give their lives to men and women who had been sent to them. And they'd be scattered all over the face of the earth. But if they ever forgot the why, the Spirit of God in them would renew the why. And maybe, just maybe, we're in a season right now where the Holy Spirit is renewing the why in the church. Because it's so easy to get caught up in a what. And you know what? If you're in the what to do, when the fire comes, you'll be a bush that burns up. But if you get the revelation of why I do it, the fire only proves to reveal who you really are, and you don't get burnout.
That's a good point.
And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that you also may be sanctified by the truth. I don't pray for these alone, but I also pray for those who will believe in me through their word. So I'm also praying for those, even in Deming, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. The world is not going to believe that Jesus was sent, because we are the people who do what God wants. They will believe that he is sent when we become the people who do what we do for the same reason that Jesus did what he did. When we become the people who have the why of God and we do what we see our Father doing, that's when they'll know he was sent. That's why there's so much upheaval over Christianity, because a lot of people are hurt by church. People have not been hurt by church. They've been hurt by what to do.
Yeah.
And so we've been there. We've gone far enough on that. So apostolically today, I'm saying, "Woo! I'm not good with the what anymore. I want the why I do what I do." Okay? Because I'm 61 and planning on being younger, not older. I'm planning on dreaming another dream. I'm planning on going another measure.
Amen.
I'm planning on fulfilling this chapter and beginning another one.
Amen. Amen.
But the only way I can fulfill the chapter I'm in is if I know why I'm doing this chapter. Okay? And I can only way I can look forward to another chapter, because when I finish this chapter, God already told me I'm going to be 75, 76 when this chapter's finished. And then he said there's another one. Now, I don't know how long that chapter is or what that chapter looks like. I don't know. Maybe it's discipling people hunting in the woods. No, I don't know. You never know. But whatever that other chapter is, see, we're all, no matter where we're at in life, whether we have jobs or we're in retirement or where we're at, we all have to stay young in our hearts, and we have to realize we're here for a why. Who are those that we are sent to reveal, not to tell them what to do, but to reveal the Father, so that they also can grab a hold of us. Because there's plenty of what to do. There's lots of what to do. Okay. Even in practicalities, I shouldn't walk into this place and say, well, what do they want me to do? I should look around. Why? Okay, like I used to, as a pastor, well, I don't do this anymore because I'm not the pastor, but I used to walk in as a pastor and I would look at the chairs. I'd walk down the rows and I'd touch the rows. And now some people would think, oh yeah, that's what you do when you come to the church, you touch the rows. And then I would kind of push the chairs and line them. This is just me. I would push the chairs and line them up. When I walked into the room, if the music was on and I was turning it off, I would never turn the dial straight down. I'd just turn it down real. If nobody was in the room, I'd turn the dial down real gradual. This is me. Okay, now I'm describing some things I would do and why I would do it. Because some people then might come in and just say, oh yeah, you're supposed to turn it down gradually. That's a what to do. Or you're supposed to touch the chairs. That's a what to do. Or you're supposed to line the chairs up. That's a what to do. No, I touched the chairs because I knew that in those chairs were going to be people. And I touched those chairs and I looked down those rows of chairs because as a pastor, I wanted to see people that you love are going to be in this. I remember as a young pastor going out and asking God for finances, and he told me to go take a walk. And then he says to me, your priorities are all messed up. Your value system's all messed up. Why? He says, you cry every Saturday. You weep. Because you don't want to say something to the people that's not me. And I've entrusted you with my most valuable things. I've entrusted you with my people and my word. And you hesitate about finance? Man, your priorities are all messed up. Easy peasy, I'll give you finance. I've already trusted you with the more important thing. But my attitude as a young pastor was, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not qualified. And so I got in the habit. I'd go in and touch. It wasn't a method of touching chairs. It just helped me know why I'm here. These are not chairs. These are people. It helped me see it. And I would straighten the chairs because, not because I like straight chairs, but because first, people, I realized that what people see first is what their first impression. So I didn't want them to see a place that was just a mess. I wanted it to be neat. Now, it doesn't mean it always, like, maybe in modern society we don't want it neat. Maybe we don't want it thrown around. But me, I moved the chairs because I wanted them all in alignment. Now, I didn't want to disciple people to be the church of aligned chairs. I wanted my disciples to understand that, oh yeah, I would walk in there and I would look at what do people see here. Not what does pastor expect me to see here. What would people see here? What could I do that would help people have a first experience that open in their hearts to receive what goes on here? Okay. And now, I would turn the music down slowly because I have a thing that atmospheres exist whether people or not. See, I believe if a tree falls in the woods and no one's there, it does make a sound. Some people question whether it does. If no one's there to hear it, I've got people who preach sermons on that. Does it really make a sound? It's not that tough. Hello, it makes a flippant sound if no one's there to hear it. I think so. So in other words, what happens in the atmosphere if the room is empty is the same as what happens in the atmosphere if the room is full. So when I would turn the worship down, I would turn it down slowly. Now, I'm not telling you this so that you at City Life Church will know how to align chairs or do the method. I'm just kind of sharing you my heart as a pastor. I don't know what your pastor sees, but I guarantee you when he comes in, he looks with pastor eyes, not with job eyes. So I want to say, okay, give me pastor eyes. Mm-hmm. You're not here to serve him. You're here to see what the Father sees. And in every level of authority, whether it be you're over the children's ministry or you're over worship or you're a gift to lead that, so you want to see what the Father sees. Don't do this as just jobs. Don't do it as what-tos. You'll burn out. Do it as a why, and then you'll get a fresh vision for the same old what. You know, as a grandpa, I change diapers. You know, thank goodness right now I only got one in diapers, so I only have to change diapers once. But, you know, I actually enjoy doing it. It's an experience for my grandkids. It's actually not a changing of a diaper. It's an experience when Grandpa does it. Trust me, it is. In many ways, it's an experience. But I do it because of the why. I love them. Right? So Jesus says to them, I'm sending them the same way. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am. So in other words, I want us to be one in relationship. He says, Father, the world has not known you, but I've known you. And these have known that you sent me. And I've declared to them your name. I've revealed to them who you are. They saw me, they saw you. And I will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. Okay, now, I want to talk to you about one other set of things that I see right now God is saying. And I want to apply this in the why. I mentioned it last night that Isaiah 32 says, behold, a king will reign righteously and princes will rule with justice. Or princes will rule justly. Okay, so as the core group, or as part of the core group of the church, because those who didn't come today who are part of this group aren't less than this group. They just didn't come. Doesn't mean they weren't hungry. Maybe they had other things going. I don't care. It doesn't matter. But we gave a free open invitation to you. Came. I already told you. You came because you were invited. Maybe some of you came because you thought it was, well, I have to do this. This is what to do. I get that. Okay. And that's okay. I'm now telling you, it doesn't matter what reason you came, whether it was a what or a why. Maybe you all came because it was a what. I don't care. Maybe you all came because it was a why. Fantastic. But I'm talking to you to tell you that I want to grab the why this year like never before as a 61-year-old man, a 44-year-old leader in the body of Christ. I want to grab the why like never before, and I want to give the why to those that God has given me. Not just in the church, but in the world, in my neighborhood. You know, my neighbor Scott, he calls me the neighborhood missionary. Now, it's not because I witness to him. He just knows that I go to the nations. And so the last thing I want him to see me is as a what. So I like to talk to him about a why I do what I do. In Isaiah 32, behold, a king reigns in righteousness. Princes will rule with justice. That's not a what to. That's a why. Because what does ruling with justice look like? First of all, justice is not the same justice as the family tree of the world. You got a family tree? You see, have you watched on the internet, you know, on YouTube or something? There's a big thing now on finding your DNA. Of course, it's got to do with realizing that tearing down walls of prejudice. And, you know, it's quite funny because I've got a lot of my millennials. I spend a lot of time with millennials these days. And a lot of my millennial friends have done it. And one of them would... She really prided herself in being Irish. She's got red hair. She's a tall ginger gal. She lives in Spain these days, and she's always celebrates, you know, St. Patrick's Day. She's Irish, and she was really, really happy about that. So she did that DNA test. And another guy named Sean, who's a friend of hers, did the DNA test, and he's an African-American guy, supposedly. Well, it ended up his DNA, he's more Irish than she is. And so on the YouTube, if you go on YouTube, you'll find they do these things all over. And one of them, there's a British guy on there. He prided himself in coming from England. And they said, well, can you think of somebody you wouldn't want to come from it? And the Germans. And of course, it comes out he's part German. And that freaked him out. Another gal, she would never want to be Turkey. And she's Turkish, you know. So, you know, you don't know where you come from. You know, my ancestors were Norway, but who knows where that comes from? That's probably any nation, because they did the Viking raids. So who knows where I come from? But the deal is, we all come from the same place. We're all the same family. So in the natural, that's a thing that's going on. Well, you know what? I think in the church, God wants us to know that we're all the same family tree. But in the world, the family tree is the family tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A justice system of, we got to make sure it's right, because this is wrong. Now, every time that a relationship has been destroyed because someone was wrong, And that was the sole reason, not because someone was being killed. It's the difference between life and death and right and wrong. Wrong will often kill you, but the real problem is not wrong. The real problem is death. Because even right will kill you at times in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who were right and ended their relationship because they were unwilling to be wrong. Thank goodness Jesus, my Savior, was not willing, or was willing, to be wrong. When he died on my cross, that was wrong. An innocent man died for me. That's wrong according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Wrong. But according to the tree of life, the tree of love, it's absolutely right. It's what you do. It's what you do when you love. Well, they lied about me. Okay, that's fine. I'm not going to lie about them. I'm not going to see them differently than the Father sees them, even though everything about them is saying they are not truth. They are not what they are. But I know what they are. I love my son Jonathan is doing a fantastic job of raising his children. And he learned some good stuff from me. He's learning even better stuff from God's Father. There's another generation of kids, I think, that are coming up with another level of freedom. And he treats my granddaughters like this. He wants them to know the why, not the what. And he reminds them of who they are. So when one sister is angry with another sister, he reminds that sister, not by control, but he gets her to see, is that who you really are? That's not who you really are. How does that make you feel? So he does a little exercise. When she's angry with her sister, one of them, like Aubrey's angry with London, he'll say, okay, Aubrey, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think of something that on this particular day or that your sister did that you really liked. All right, now, do it again. Close your eyes and think about something that she did in the last couple days about her that you really like. Okay, now, close your eyes and think about what she just did and how do you feel now? Well, not so bad. I says, okay, so I'm just reminding you of who you really are and who your sister really is. Because what just happened is not who she really is. And how you feel about her right now is not who you really are. Okay? So it's a why. So justice, rule of justice is not a justice system of who's right, how do we make, who's wrong, how do we make it right? Or what's wrong in Deming, how do we make it right? People in America want justice. We've got a grassroots revolution, whether you voted for what won or voted for what law, in all sides. Everything. Everybody's wanting things to be made right. But God wants to do something better than make it right. He wants to make it life. So we can't look at, the answer's not going to be in the world. I think there are probably going to be good things and bad things happen in America. That's what happens in the kingdoms of the world. Good things and bad things. You know, if you look at history, I've done that before here. If you take a 100 years, every century, there's about 10 good years. Actually done history, not just of America. Okay, you know, if you lived during the time of the Civil War, is that good news or bad news for America? Bad news. Even if you were on the side that won, it's still a bad deal. Okay? And so there was what? 800 and some thousand Americans died in that war. Okay, did you know that at the same time in Paraguay, there was over 1.5 million people that died? Have you ever heard of that one? No, because you don't live in Paraguay. And you don't think about Paraguay. So you don't care about Paraguay. It's not that you're heartless, you just don't live there. But at the same time, there were 850,000 Americans killed. There was twice that many that died in Paraguay. Bad news for Paraguay. So I've done a little research and I've studied history in the world, And every 100 years is about 10 good years. And about 90 years that aren't quite so good and hoping that it'll be like those 10. You know, once in a while you'll get a you'll get a century that has a couple of runs. But the run is about 10 years. So if you're going to put your hope in that, you're in trouble. But in the midst of every century, there's God's people. And God wants to bring us to the place where we finally embrace the justice system of the kingdom of God, which is the justice system of love. That way, on a bad day, we still do things. What do we do? We do what loves. We do whatever's necessary for the well-being of others. Why? It's what we do? No, it's who we are. When we have an issue, you know, we look at the laws in Scripture. When you have to take a poop, you go outside the camp. That's what the Scripture says. When you have to go poop, go outside the camp, take a shovel, dig a hole, poop, bury it, then come back to the camp. It's not the what to do of poop. It's the why of poop. You don't poop in the camp. Why? Somebody will step on it. So everybody's got to get rid of ish every now and then. But if you don't, if you just get rid of your ish among everybody else, your issue is going to become ish on someone else's shoe. So it's not the law of the what to do with poop. It's the why of poop, for goodness sakes. It's not rocket science. God never wanted it to be what to do laws. Even when he wrote it down as a what to, it was never a what to do. It's how we act as a family. Yes, sometimes you have to poop. Okay, I'll be vulnerable. I went this morning. I didn't have a shovel, but in my room there's a toilet. I didn't go in the corner on the floor. I went to the bathroom. I went on the toilet. I flushed. It's gone. The cleaner's going to come in today, and I don't think she or he is going to experience too much residual. I think I did an all right job. I purposely did not poop on the toilet seat. Now, I've been into some toilets, and I go in there, and they poop on the toilet seat. Why? Probably because they don't want to put their butt on the toilet seat because the place stinks. That's probably it. But they didn't clean it up. Why? Because they don't care about the next person. Like using a bathroom on an airplane. Vicious. I feel sorry for women. It's the why. So the justice that we have to rule with is the why. Okay, and then it says four things, and then I'm done. Okay, you got it? So it says, a man, I'm going to read this in the New American Standard here because I'll read it in the New King James. And a man will be a hiding place from the wind. A what man? A prince or a princess man. Someone who has a different justice system than the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Our family tree is the tree of life, not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What produces life? What brings life? What brings life? What brings life? Not what is right, what is wrong. What brings life? What brings healing? What brings redemption? What brings forgiveness? So how can we get them out of law? Mercy. Now how do we change them? Grace. Change them. Not just, you're okay. No, you're not okay. You're okay, God loves you, but look at, you've got crap all over your feet. You stink. You're okay, God loves you, but you stink. Let's get this poop off your shoes. Now, how are you going to do that? Well, you got to listen to him. You're going to have to change the way you act. It's not a what to, it's a why to. It's not the what to of you know, why do you dress up? You know, why do you dress the way you dress? It should be a why, not a what. We live in a world of whats. Okay, so it says a man or a princess will be a hiding place from the wind. There'll be a shelter from the tempest, a cover from the tempest, or a shelter from the storm. There'll be rivers of water in the dry place. There'll be a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. There'll be a shade from the heat. And then it says the eyes of those who see will not be dim. That means those who are in deception will no longer be in deception. The ears of those who hear will listen. Okay? What does that mean? That means that he'll empower relational connections. and responses. If you go on this, the result is truth is inspired. The result is there's confidence gained. And then there's victory over selfishness and victory over lawlessness. But it starts with princes, princesses, living from the why. Okay? So let me give you four statements on this. And if you want the whole message, follow my blogs or listen to what I've preached before on this. But here's what we need. People in the world are afraid. They don't know what's next. They can't find a place to settle. They're tossed to and fro from every conflicting way of life. They don't know what to do. They're out of control. They're disconnected from God. So their what-tos are all messed up. But people of God know a connection with God. The wind doesn't toss them because we have God's presence in our lives. And people of love bring faith, stability, direction, peace, and freedom of heart and soul. So the wind doesn't move us. Why? Because his presence is with us. He's asleep in the back of the boat, for goodness sake. He's in my boat, for goodness sake. He's in my circumstance. The wind is blowing. The world is tossing to and fro because they don't have him in their boat, or they don't know he's in their boat. So as a core group in this church, keep your focus and you'll keep the why. Number one focus, his presence is in my life.
Amen.
His presence is in this church. His presence is in this city. His presence is in my family. Don't beg for his presence. Look for his presence. If you're in the boat and you're in the front of the boat and it's tossing with the waves and you don't see him, look to the back of the boat. He's there. He just might be asleep because he's not worried like you are. He's at rest with you. Okay, focus on his presence. The second thing, people in the world, people in Deming, they don't seek God's counsel. We're not here to condemn them for not seeking God's counsel, for goodness sake. They don't even know he's real. Why would they seek his counsel? Don't preach to them. Listen to God. How in the world are they going to know to listen to God? They don't even know he exists. Don't preach to them. Listen to God. Demonstrate to them what it looks like when you listen to God. They don't want to do his will. They want to do their own will. The result is dread, calamity, distress, anguish. They dread. They got calamity, distress, and anguish. But people of God seek God's will. They don't seek their own. Why? They seek his kingdom first, and all the things they need are added to them. Why? They listen to what he said. The storm beats against the house, but the one who built it on the rock, the one who listened and responded. The world's not going to be respond. Okay, now, responding to God, guys, is not a what you do. It's the result of a why you do. Because he knows what he's talking about. What God is saying in this church is important to respond to. It's going to be different than what I want to say or different than what was said before. And I need to respond to what he's saying now because he knows what he's talking about. It's not what I do. I do it because of the why. I have a justice system of love. I'm going to respond to what he says. And then I'm going to be someone in the city that they look at and they go, you're in the same storm they are, but you're not in calamity. You're not in distress. You're not falling all apart. And they'll say, hey, what are you doing? Well, no, it's not really a what I'm doing. It's a why I'm doing. has to tell you the truth. I'm really doing the same things you're doing. But I'm doing them differently. When I do what you do, I'm trying to listen to what he says, and I've been trusting him. And so, like example, I didn't know, but I was in tough financially, just like you are, and God told me to do something. He told me to give away, like in my life, he told me to give away a building when I needed money to buy a building. It doesn't make any sense, does it? But he knows what he's talking about, and that actually worked. And I don't know what your testimony is, but share your testimony with your neighbors, not of what you did, but why you did it. Share the testimony in this from a core group to this church of why are you listening to what God is saying to us. Like, I came here this weekend, I didn't just come as a guest speaker, I didn't just come as some, I'm in relationship with you. God connected us. I got something to say. So why would you listen to what I have to say? Because God is saying something to you. Now, you can't expect everybody who comes in here to do that. But you can expect everybody who comes in here to see you, how you do that, and you demonstrate it. And they say, well, why would you listen to it? Why are you listening to that guy? Because he's speaking to us stuff that God is saying. That's why. And it doesn't work out well when I do it my own way. Well, should we do what he says? Well, I surely want to understand. I want to see what he sees. I want to do what I do the way he does what he does. What does that mean for me? He said, I can't remember what he said. You know, like, okay. Two more things because I'm talking too much. But. People in the world are never satisfied. They're thirsty. They need life. They seek life in all the wrong places and all the wrong things. Don't condemn them for that. They're looking for life. They're left dry and dead. They're left as a place for demonic influences. They're a dry place. They can't get no satisfaction. But people of God live from satisfaction. Thus, they seek to give life to others. They are a watered garden. They're a place of God's presence and habitation. We give life to others. Okay, it's not what we do. It's why we do it. The final thing, the heat. The heat has to do with being under the shade. You know, if you study in Scripture, the Song of Solomon, the Shulamite woman, she says, I'm under the shade of you. I'm under you. You're the shade. You're my refuge. It's got to do with I want, you're the desire of my heart. When the prostitutes, they would go under the shade of the trees. In other words, the desire of the flesh was what was their desire. So if you don't want to melt for the heat, you got to have the right desire. And so people in the world, they seek personal pleasure, personal preference, personal identity, and they're left with their own misery and the bondages of their own iniquities. But people of God seek to please God because they know how pleased He is with them. Don't seek to please God because you think He's displeased with you. Get a revelation of how pleased He is with you. Now seek to please Him. Even if you think he's not. They seek to be children of God and they live under his authority. They embrace the changes that come from his covering in their lives. Yeah? So thank you for coming and hearing my heart, but I'm praying that the why will come into this house. Okay? So Father God, I pray that the why will come into this house like never before. I pray for all of these in this room. I pray for Pastor Caesar and Irene. I pray there'll be no burnout in this place and in this city. I thank you that you have given people to each of us, whether it be our family members, our friends, our neighbors, people in this church. Lord, I break off the burden off Pastor Caesar and Irene to have to be you. I break off that responsibility. You do what you do because you are who you are. And I just release that each and everyone in this place will be able to do what they do for the same reason that you do what you do. But they're what is unique to each of them. So don't let them carry any burdens beyond themselves. But let them be an expression of you in everything that they do. And Lord, I thank you that you have brought your word to us as the body of Christ, that this is a season for us to be the people of God, that we are a place of mercy and grace. It's not what we do. It's because of who we are. And so why do we show mercy? Mercy is an act that we give, but it starts with a why. Grace is an empowerment that is given, but why? So give us the why of mercy and the why of grace. Give us the why we're here. Give us the why we live. And cause our yoke to be easy and our burden to be light. Bring a new refreshing to our spirit. Let us burn. We know that the burning burns away the stuff that can burn, but what does it do? It reveals who we really are. So thank you, God, for these princes, these princesses, these daughters, these sons of you, the King, Jesus. And thank you, Jesus, that you did what you did, that you came. You didn't have to for God's sake. You did it for us. You moved into our world. And it was, you knew why. That's why you came. You knew why. That's why you lived. You knew why. That's why you died. But you also knew why. That's why you poured out your spirit on all flesh. So that we could know why also.